work through a myriad of organizations in America, but they all have a common goal: the destruction of America, the establishment of a world government, the destruction of Christianity, and the establishment of a new religion, and then the enthronement of a world leader. They all work in concert to destroy our belief in the Constitution, to convince us the United States is a democracy, and whenever a politician gets up and talks about our democracy, you know that he is either knowingly or unknowingly on the other side, because, of course, we are a republic, we're a government of laws, and Congress cannot do whatever it wants to. The president cannot do whatever he wants to. We are governed by the laws established by the Constitution, and the power of the central government over our lives is limited by the change of the Constitution. Unfortunately, because they've been trying to change our perception of the Constitution for at least two generations, why, most people don't even understand the difference between a republic and a democracy. They do not understand what Plato had written, and that is, democracies always degenerate into despotism. Democracies always degenerate into despotism, and that is just what's happening in America today. But is anybody concerned? There is a plan, in case of a national emergency, to suspend habeas corpus, to round up people and put them into concentration camps. Will you be concerned if it's your neighbor or the man down the street? Or what about if it's someone in your family or you that is rounded up? This, you say this couldn't happen in America. Why couldn't it happen in America? Because if God is just, he is going to bring judgment on this country. So with that as the background, David Whitney, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, it's a blessing, Dr. Stan. Thank you for having me on your program. I know that your listeners care about these issues. As a matter of fact, several people have emailed over the past several weeks and either commenting on a show they've listened to live or one that they've gone to your archive and enjoyed listening. And we've been talking in the previous months about the great power that we the people have. Many people kind of despair once they study the materials of Institute on the Constitution, discover that, whoa, we have been lied to, we've been deceived, and our government is currently operating in a illegal fashion. 90+% of everything it does in Washington, D.C. is a violation of the Constitution and so on. And they say, what can we do? And certainly we can cast ballots at the voting box for candidates who are willing to uphold the Constitution. And we ought to be very, very cautious and very careful in choosing anyone that we grant our precious franchise of a vote to, and vote against anyone that, or vote for only for those who will truly uphold the Constitution as it was originally intended. And none of the major candidates today for the two monopoly parties, none of them have any promise to really do the right thing, that is, restore the Constitution to its rightful place. I know Ron Paul fought a good fight along those lines, but understand we recently withdrew. So people say, what else can we do other than voting at the ballot box? Well, there is a very direct and very powerful route that every citizen has, and that's what we're talking about in this series of talks, the jury. That when you serve on a jury, you have the power to stop unjust laws. You have the power to stop actions on the part of the civil government that violate the God-given rights of the citizens who've been brought in and accused of certain things. But to do that as a juror, you need, of course, to understand the Constitution itself. And our course, Institute on the Constitution, is designed to give a citizen a working knowledge of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. But you can do a far more powerful thing in serving as a juror than just stop that unjust process. Because if you, it's a criminal case, and you're one of 12, if the 11 other 11 people say, ah, this person is guilty, we vote to condemn them and sentence them and so on, and you, one out of 12, say, no, wait a minute, the problem here is a constitutional violation, that this law that he's being charged having violated is no law at all because it violates the Constitution. You could stop it, but all you'll get is a hung jury. The person then will have to face trial once again. It's far more powerful if you, as a juror, one among the 12, can persuade the other 11 people that what you believe about our Constitution and what you believe about their job, their role as a juror, is critically important to preserving our constitutional republic, and you can persuade them to vote with you that the jury can be on your side. The whole jury could be on your side and vote to acquit someone charged of a crime that's no crime at all because the law itself is a violation of the Constitution. So what we do in this course on the jury is to teach the history of the jury such that a juror is well equipped to persuade other jurors of the rightness and the historic grounding for this role that the jury plays as judge of the law and not just judge of the facts of the matter. So we've gone back and looked at the Hebrew Republic, which is where really all this started. It is in God's Word. 1250 B.C. is the approximate date when they were at Mount Sinai and God handed down his law and said that everyone must know the statutes and the laws. Every citizen, not just the professionals, not just the politicians and judges and lawyers, but everyone was to know the statutes and the laws, and everyone was to do the judging. And God gave very, very strict commands to all his people, such as Deuteronomy 16:19, you shall not pervert justice, you shall not show partiality, nor take a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and twists the words of the righteous. You shall follow what is altogether just, that you may live and inherit the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And so there was this principle established of a jury system where the citizens knew the law, the citizens were involved in judging their fellow citizens when they were accused of a crime. And of course, the history of our Western civilization is one in which various nations over time picked up these biblical principles and applied them in their own structure of government. For example, the Greek system, the ancient Greece, had a jury system of very, very large juries. 200 to 500 jurors would be called a dicast, and they would judge a case. And of course, with 200 jurors, it's pretty hard to bribe any of them, and justice would be rendered as those.
We'll be back in just a moment with Pastor David Whitney here, American Freedom Network.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of CNC Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom. Good Sabbath.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized, my diabetes.
Heart and Body Extract is...
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Stand back here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning is Pastor David Whitney, and his discussion reminded me of a recent case that was settled in Nevada. You never heard about it, but the case went on for four long months. It involved a gentleman who was paying his employees with gold and silver. They were gold and silver coins minted by the American government with the value stamped on them. And, of course, the traditional $20 gold piece was either listed at $20 or $50. The silver dollar was listed as $1, and, of course, he paid them, and they paid their income tax based upon the value stamped upon the coins. Well, of course, the government said, no, those coins are worth a lot more than that, and of course, it was a contention of the man who was paying his employees that the Constitution required all coins and all money to be based upon gold and silver and their value. Well, anyway, the government lodged 161 felony counts against this man because he paid his employees with gold and silver coins, and they declared their value stamped on the coins. And after 4 months, with the government doing everything they can to put this man away, because, of course, we must maintain this fraudulent economic system because it benefits people of great wealth, financial interests who really run the world. After 4 months of doing everything they could to convict this man and send him to prison indefinitely because he dared to pay his employees in gold and silver, the jury threw out all 161 charges against him, and the man went free. And, of course, this is an example of what a jury can do. Of course, not one word of this in the media, not one word in the controlled media, because they don't want people to understand we have a fraudulent economic system. And, of course, the last thing they want is for the American people to understand that they've created this system so they can destroy America, impoverish our people, and enslave the world. That's what it's about. But anyway, it just shows the power of the jury. I mean, that's an amazing story, David.
It is.
Had you heard it?
Yes, and that's one of those very encouraging cases where the jury understood its tremendous power and acted upon that power in spite of, I'm sure, I don't know the details, I'm sure we'll talk later about how the judges want to instruct the juries to do precisely what the judges want them to do and render a verdict that the judges limit so much so that the jury doesn't have the kind of independence it was designed to have, and the history of juries shows that that is completely in violation of English common law and American common law, and in violation of our Constitution. The right to trial by jury is a right to a trial of a impartial jury, not a jury tainted by the government or the judge or prosecutor or anybody else, but an impartial jury that's to judge the law as well as to judge the facts. So, praise God, there was a jury that judged the law and said, look, the Constitution said gold and silver is the only legitimate money, or anything backed by gold and silver. This paper currency we have today is neither. Therefore, it's unconstitutional money, and that employer was doing what most employers should do. And my goodness, if all employers did that, the IRS would be hurting big time, which would be a wonderful thing. But anyway.
Well, if the government didn't have as much money, couldn't do as much harm, it couldn't bribe all sorts of people to go along with its programs. And if there weren't all this money that's available for the government to spend, then the lobbyists wouldn't spend countless hundreds of millions of dollars simply to bribe our congressmen. And believe me, when you give a gift to a congressman to help him get reelected, that's a bribe, no matter what you call it. Go ahead, David.
And the scripture we just read at Deuteronomy 16:19 says, don't take a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and twists the words of the righteous, and certainly it does. Well, the jury system in the ancient Greek Empire or Greek Republic was large, 200 to 500 people, so that they could not possibly bribe or corrupt the jury in such a case. And in Rome, there was a legal system before the Roman Empire, during the era of the Roman Republic, where the judge really didn't control what took place in the courtroom. Each jury basically had one lawyer who was there to set guidelines regarding admissible evidence and that sort of thing, determining which witnesses were competent and so on, and what legal precedents carried. But the jury itself was supreme, and they could judge the law as well as the facts. In fact, the jury became such a powerful force even in the Roman Empire. It was not eliminated until 352 A.D. when the Roman emperor abolished the jury system, and he said he did so because the juries were too powerful and they were too independent for him as the emperor to control. And there's a good illustration of what juries can do. Even in an empire like the Roman Empire, with a wicked ruler who wants to pull all power to himself and abuse the people, having the right of a jury trial, could stop the abuse by the emperor of their fellow citizens, and they did. Did it so successfully and so frequently that the emperor finally, in 352 AD, abolished the juries because he didn't like any challenge to his power. And that's exactly what's taking place in our day. In America, juries are being restricted, juries are being controlled and manipulated because the wicked, those who are in power, do not want independent juries judging the law and determining what is just and unjust. They want juries to basically be a rubber stamp for whatever the government wants in its rolling over the rights of God's people.
And, you know, I think it's so important for people to understand, if you are called to be on a jury, at least in my experience, the judge will ask people on the court, is there anybody here, the pool of prospective jurors, who, you know, really wants to, you know, determine the law? Now, you're not to determine the law. You're not to go to the law library. You're not to look up anything at all. You're only to do what I tell you to do. Is there anybody here who can't go along with that? Well, why have a jury if the jury cannot decide what's right and wrong? In other words, beforehand, the judge wants to be absolutely certain there's nobody on that jury who's going to be able to think independently and come to an independent decision. The juries are simply a rubber stamp on the authority of the ruling elite within the judicial system. Now, every judge understands the idea of jury nullification, and the jury has a right to judge the law. But they don't want that to happen. That's the great tragedy. Would you agree with that, David?
Yes, it is, because if the jury doesn't have an independent ability to judge the law, independent ability to look at the case, then they just are a rubber stamp. And there's jurors today who, I've read of jurors who wept after the decision was rendered because they felt their hands were tied and they could not do what they knew was just, what they knew was right. They instead followed the dictates of a black-robed tyrant.
Well, you know, basically, as far as Waco people remember what happened back in 1993, mm-hmm. when someone killed 17 little children, a number of women, and of course, the Texas Rangers investigated Waco and felt this was frankly homicide. Somebody had killed the women and the children, but of course, power was taken away from them to pursue the case by the federal government. They took the Davidians in, and they convicted them, and they sent them to prison for 40 or 50 years. And, you know, I talked to the chairman of the jury, Sarah Blaine, and she told me the wrong people were on trial. We didn't feel the Davidians were guilty at all. The judge added, you know, doubled or tripled their sentences on his own. The case went all the way to the Supreme Court. What most people never heard is the Supreme Court unanimously voted that the judge had exceeded his authority. All of the Davidians are out now, out of prison. You're never going to hear this. You know, and some of them had served 10 or 15 years, but they were all eventually released from prison. But the judge had run that trial, and even though the jury did not believe the Davidians were guilty, it was the government that had come in and started shooting and killing their people, and they were simply defending themselves. The judge had to be sure they went to prison, so that the government officials who killed the women and children specifically, and I believe it was the special forces that went in there just carrying out their job, doing what they were told, killing American women and children, so they would not be convicted. But don't worry, they got their comeuppances, because that's what Black Hawk Down in Somalia was all about. It was those same special forces men who were sent there to Somalia to die. We could never let the American people know the truth. Go ahead, David.
And the wicked, we know, will always face their comeuppance, because they're going to stand before the ultimate judge, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will not allow any of these wicked actions to go unpunished. Well, and speaking of Christ, when we ask, what would Jesus say to a juror today who's about to serve on jury duty, well, it's very clear what Jesus would say. It's given to us there what's often called the golden rule, but we could call it the golden rule for jurors, Matthew 7, verse 12. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. In other words, when you go to serve as a juror, You want what, if you were in the position of that citizen who's being hauled into court and that citizen who's being charged with a series of crimes, you should want for them what you want for yourself, which is justice, that justice would be done, justice would be served, that God's law would be applied. And so whatever you want, that is what you should give. And that's why people should desire to serve as a juror. I know many Americans, they receive a summons for juror, and they go, oh, how can I get out of this? How can I avoid this? No, you should look forward to it as an opportunity to do exactly what Jesus commanded, fulfill the golden rule, and see that justice is given to your neighbor who's being brought into court there, just as you want justice for yourself if you happen to be dragged into court, particularly by a government such as ours, which seems to have no regard for the supreme law of the land, our U.S. Constitution, or even the state constitutions of our 50 individual states. Well, moving from the fall of the Roman Empire, and of course we have the medieval period of time, just to mention a few countries where this jury principle was adopted and practiced. Germany, in the tribes, even before they became a country, so to speak, they had a form of jury in which all the free men in the community, that is, if you weren't a slave, if you were free men, you were obliged to attend the constituted tribunal. So if you belonged to this community and a trial was happening, every free man was obliged to be there. And a majority vote, of course, would decide the verdict in that case. And again, the German tribunal would decide both the law as well as the facts. And each district had what was called a Graf, who was both the military and the president of the court, or what we might call the judge of the court. And the free men would come to settle the disputes. But when a decision was to be made, it's a very interesting pattern they had there in the tribal Germany. The free men would retire from the Graf, that is, from the judge, so that they might speak more freely about the issues involved in the case. And that's exactly the pattern that we have in our American court system. The judge is not part of the deliberation that takes place as the jury of 12 meet in private. And again, that is supposed to be a sacrosanct room, that what is spoken there, that the deliberations that take place there, are not to be revealed to anyone outside of that. But today, more and more, that veil of secrecy is being pierced, and we'll talk later about some jurors who have been charged with violating their jury oath or other things, which is completely a violation of the whole principle that the jury withdraws from the judge, and in secret deliberation, the only thing they give back to the judge is their verdict. They don't have to give the reasons why they reach that verdict, or the process of thinking, or their evaluation of various witnesses, or none of that. They do their deliberations in private because they recognize there, even in those early Germanic tribes, that the court system itself and the judge, the professional, is not to be trusted with justice for a fellow citizen.
I agree with you. We have somebody calling in. Let's just see what, before we go to the break. Who's calling in?
Dr. Stan, this is Maureen in Aurora, Colorado.
Yes, Maureen.
And I'm calling to say that you and your guests today are such a blessing to all of us, but especially to me, I feel, because the U.S. Constitution is what stands between us and total tyranny. Years ago, I was called to be a jury member, and I answered the paper questionnaire. That was fine. They didn't get rid of me then, but I got as far as the jury box, and it was just a minor case, a municipal case of a bail bondsman trial or something. And so then the attorney started asking the jurors sitting in the jury box what their work in life had been, and I said, well, I wrote and lectured and taught at the high school level the U.S. Constitution always.
Year-old with an agreeable smile. Starting at age 6, he was medicated with Concerta and Adderall at the insistence of school staff. Grades remained mediocre. Family and friends found Mike's zombie-like appearance frightening, and he continued with periodic outbursts and meltdowns. He suffered from sleeplessness and lack of appetite. When his first 7th grade report card showed all D's and F's, His desperate mom emailed the Brain Workout Center. Mike's progress through our program was bumpy, but he worked at it and finished drug-free. Since then, his mom reports that he has made the honor roll for the first time in his life. He willingly does his homework and has enough time to play in a band, his lifelong dream. The Brain Workout Center. No drugs, no labels. Side effects include results. Call 303-691-0882.
Stop living with pain. Discover Magneticare Cell Activating Liquid Complex and RX Magnets for a healthier life. Tom Martino and the Broncos know what works when you need to reduce swelling and inflammation, eliminate chronic pain, increase blood circulation, and aid in the healing process. Get your fast-acting Magneticare Liquid Complex, cream, or RX Magnets now. Call Bob at 303-388-1227. That's 303-388-1227. www.magneticare.net.
I'm Ann Johnson. For over 11 years, I've owned a health food store. I'm an iridologist, herbalist, and perform extensive muscle testing to find out what products best meet my customers' health needs. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Vital PSP. It consistently surpasses over 3,000 samples in my test kit. My customers are having amazing fast results. Vital PSP has profound effects at DNA levels. If you struggle with any health issues, I recommend you call me, 303-833-2784.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at The Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of The Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by The Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's The Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city, and be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Stand back here at the American Freedom Network, I guess this morning, Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution. We're talking about the power that the juror has to be sure that the Constitution is enforced and people are not sent to prison because they disagree with the government. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, today America is a police state. One out of every 100 adults is in prison. One out of every 100 adults, one out of every 32 adults is in prison, probation, or parole. One out of every 3 young black men, 21 to 31, is in prison, probation, or parole. We have far more people in prison proportionally than communist China does. There, with a nation, a population of 1.25 billion people, they have about 1.6 million people in prison in America. With a population of about 300 million, we have over 2.3 million in prison. What's wrong with this picture? Well, it is because the juries are not doing their job. They're allowing the government to send people to prison, and if you don't immediately plead guilty and take a plea bargain and admit that you're guilty, even if you're not, why, you may go to prison for 40, 80, 120 years. There's something wrong with our prison system. There's something wrong with our court system. We've turned our back on God. Well, let's get back to David Whitney. David, I want you to give your telephone number, your address, so people can get in touch with the Institute on the Constitution.
Yes, Dr. Stan, our website, and we have a web store with various materials that can help you. Our website is iotconline.com. That's iotconline.com. Or if you want to place an order with us from our store, and we prefer to do that over the phone, you can call us toll-free. Institute on the Constitution can be reached at 866-730-9796. That toll-free number again for Institute on the Constitution is 866-730-9796. And the product that we encourage people to get, because if you're going to serve as a juror and you're going to determine who is a proper candidate that you should vote for in the November election, you have to know the U.S. Constitution. And our course, our Foundations course, teaches as a host kit. It's designed basically to be a turnkey program that you can communicate the truths of what our founders' view of law and government is and what the essential knowledge is for every citizen to know, the Declaration, the Constitution, and Bill of Rights. These things are put together in a simple way that anybody can communicate these to their family, a group of friends. We see churches across the country using this as a tool to equip their congregation to be Christian citizens. And so that's the essential tool. There's many other tools that are available there. I encourage people to visit our web store at iotconline.com. Well, before the break, we were talking about Germanic tribes, and they had a form of jury system that was clearly enacted there. And then you turn to the northern European countries, the Scandinavian countries. These also had very clear jury systems established early on. Norway had a judicial body of 36 men that were literally called in the Norwegian language law amendment men. Very interesting phrase, law amendment men, designating that when they judged, they were judging the law as well as the facts, and they might be actually amending the law in the case that they're dealing with.
If you'd like to make a call.
Hello?
Yes? Am I back there? Back online?
You're right online. Go ahead.
Okay. It just sounded there like I went offline. But their decisions, their verdicts would actually fix the law so that they might change the law by the decision they made as a jury. It's interesting that the one who presided over the body was a man who could recite the laws of the land from memory. He had them completely memorized, and he could recite them, and therefore he had the power to lead the judicial process. When you consider our situation today, no person could possibly, if from the moment of their birth to the moment of their death, if they were able to read and not sleep, do nothing else but read and read page after page after page, could never read through the laws we as American citizens are required to obey, both on the federal level and the state level, and then you take all the federal agencies and their unending lists of regulations, EPA, IRS, you know. It's impossible for anybody anywhere in our country to know the law. Of course, they say ignorance is no excuse. But how can anybody know the law when it's impossible for anybody to sit down and read through it? This is inherently an unjust system. The law should be condensed to a point where it's simple enough that the average citizen could sit down in a limited period of time, read through, and understand what they are obligated to do. And anything other than that, the system that we have today is inherently unjust.
Well, I think that people have to realize that every time you pass a law, you take away a little bit of freedom. We need a certain number of laws to have some sort of an orderly society. But we have so many laws today that nobody could really understand them all. In fact, I personally talked to a high official in the IRS that had to do with closing a pension fund, and he said, look, you ought to go ahead and close your pension fund. I'm in charge of the pension fund laws for the IRS. I don't understand the laws. You can't understand the laws. Close out your pension fund, which is what I did, best advice I ever got. But when the government official who was quite open, you can't understand all the laws. Nobody does. So, ladies and gentlemen, what we've got to do is do away with all the government agencies. Liberty and limited government are synonymous. And tyranny and total government are synonymous. And there really are people who want a tyranny in America. And these people are in key positions in Washington, D.C., because they believe a ruling elite is the only way to have an orderly society, that people cannot rule themselves. They must be ruled by an elite. Go ahead.
Well, so Norway has a very interesting aspect there that's a valuable reminder of limited law. Sweden had a tribunal of 12 men, and they were to investigate and ascertain the truth in any case, which, again, is very different from what a jury is permitted to do today, and they were to actually be the investigators of the details of the case, and they were judges of both the law and the fact. A verdict could be reached when there was agreement among 7 of the 12. Denmark, another Scandinavian country, had a tribunal called the Thingamend, or Thingmen, that was made up also of a quorum of 12, and these acted like jurors in terms of determining what was guilt or innocence as well as the law. Iceland, which we don't necessarily think of as a Scandinavian country, but it was settled by Norsemen and so on. It had a tribunal of 12 men, 11 men plus one magistrate, and a verdict there was reached by a majority. So these patterns, both in Germanic tribes and the Scandinavian tribes, are very clear that they had a jury system that functioned in a very clear way to judge the law as well as the fact. And then we come to the invasion of the Vikings to Normandy, which is part of France, and they invaded repeatedly until ultimately they had a peace treaty with the Frankish emperors that they controlled that part of France today that we call Normandy. And, of course, Rollo, the Viking invader, he brought the concept of the Scandinavian idea of jury with him, that a tribunal of free men would judge the law and the facts of the case. And this took place in Normandy about 890 A.D., and that idea actually began to influence Frankish law and Frankish custom, and the Norman dukes were very powerful in their not only military conquest, but also some of the legal principles they brought to France. And of course, we have the Norman invasion, where those Normans came to England.
Hold on, we'll be right back here in just a moment with Pastor David Whitney here at the American Freedom Network.
Tapes of the preceding show are available by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network.
I'm saving 17 years off my mortgage.
I'm saving $66,000 in interest.
I will achieve the American dream in just 8 years.
These people didn't refinance. They didn't get a raise. In fact, most didn't change their budget or lifestyle at all. Instead, they made a simple switch in how they bank, which revolutionized their ability to pay off debt. This switch is not biweekly payments. Instead, it is a new and different way of you controlling your money.
I never thought that I would be debt-free or mortgage-free. I always thought that I would have a mortgage payment forever. I went to SwiftPayoff.com. I pay off my mortgage in less than half the time without changing my budget.
For more information, call 1-800-760-8091. Call 1-800-760-8091 today.
Better write that down.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution, and they have a great program to teach you the Constitution. You need to know it. You need to teach others. You need to teach your family, your friends, the people in your church. If we don't understand the foundation of our freedom, how can we remain free? Go right ahead, David.
Well, the jury system, you could say, came to England in the Norman conquest, or you might look at the history and say it was already there because Alfred the Great, one of the laws that he had codified, and he was the one who actually changed much in terms of the English system to get rid of bad law and to make good laws. Alfred the Great had written that there would be a jury of 12 that would determine guilt or innocence in trials, but in the Norman conquest, they brought the same principle as they invaded, and some of the first things that were done were using juries in a wider range than just criminal trials. For example, once the Normans invaded, one of the first things any invader wants to do is tax the people, and How they did that is by determining who owned what land. In the famous book that they developed, the Doomsday Book, determined who owned what property. But the way they determined who owned property is to gather a jury of 12 people of the neighborhood to swear upon oath who owned what property. And so a great part of the Doomsday Book was actually compiled by juries as they met to determine as a group of 12 exactly who owned what property throughout England. And so the jury system, while it had an ancient history all the way back to King Alfred the Great, was reinforced and re-strengthened by the Norman Conquest. The jury began to be developed into a wider range of powers. Additional persons were added to the jury during the reign of Edward the First, and then the reign of Edward the Third. A few years later, a slow development began to separate some of the functions that at one point were all part of what the jury did. For example, those who knew the facts, what we would call witnesses today, originally were part of the jury. That is, you were chosen if you knew facts about the case that was being considered. Well, during the reign of Edward III, that began to be separated out so that witnesses were separate from the jury, those who had no knowledge of the facts. One of the elements that entered into medieval law at that point was the principle of attaint. That is, jurors could be tried for what was considered an improper verdict or an improper decision. What would take place is once the trial was over and a jury had rendered a decision, then if the king or his judges determined, they would say, we believe an improper verdict was rendered, they would call another jury. This second jury would look at all the evidence that the first jury had presented to it and look at the decision the first jury rendered and determine whether that first jury had given a false verdict or what was originally called perjury, that the jury had perjured themselves in this original decision. And this was not a mild sentence on the jurors. In fact, it was a possibility of subjecting them to the forfeiture of their land, their property, and even their liberty. They could be imprisoned for rendering what was considered a false verdict. And this principle of attaint, we'll see later, was in a famous trial with William Penn, was one of the ways in which the government at that point in time was trying to control the jury, trying to prevent the jury from being independent, trying to see the jury did what the government wanted the jury to do. And it's one of the things we need to always understand, that no matter what we do in establishing our freedom, we always have the force of tyrants pushing back against us. They will not be content if we've established our freedom and our liberty. They're going to attempt to take it away from us. And so we must always be vigilant. We almost always have to be part of fighting to defend our God-given rights and our God-given liberties. Otherwise, we will have them taken from us.
Well, I think, David, people must understand that the conflict of the ages has always been between those in government who wanted to have more power and the individual who wanted to be free. The conflict of the ages has been that this dissension between those people in government who want to control the populace and the individual who wants to be free. Once you understand that, you understand that America was unique. That's what our Constitution was all about, because it limited the power of the government and therefore of the bureaucracy that wanted to control the populace. And, of course, people did have freedom here, more freedom than had ever existed before, and we still, in many respects, have that framework. The only trouble is we have lawbreakers at the highest level of our government who really do believe that Machiavelli was right, that Plato were right. We need an all-powerful ruler. Plato's philosopher king, Machiavelli is the prince. And, of course, that's the basis of the neocon movement that controls Washington, D.C. today, which you will never hear discussed by Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or Brian Williams. Go ahead, David.
Well, the great high point, the thing that is to be understood by every American, is this was ensconced as the tyrant sought to take power away from the people. The people pushed back through their barons, and they forced King John to sign the Magna Carta. Magna Carta was not signed willingly by King John. He did not want to give the people their God-given rights, and the Magna Carta was basically telling King John, you are going to be dethroned, and perhaps we will even take your life. The threat is to completely strip you of your power unless you sign this document that secures our God-given rights, the ancient rights of Englishmen that date all the way back in time to the Garden of Eden. And the Magna Carta recognized this principle, providing that free men, merchants, villains, that is, by the way, villains was not a negative term, it was a people on the lower end of the system of feudalism that there in ancient England, that they shall not be fined for a small crime, but according to the degree of the crime. That is, the punishment was to fit the crime. Unlike Islamic quote-unquote law, the Quran says you could chop somebody's hand off for stealing an apple. Well, that punishment does not fit the crime. Magna Carta says the punishment must fit the crime, which again is ensconcing biblical law in English common law. None of the aforesaid amercements, which are the punishments, shall be imposed but by the oaths of honest men of the neighborhood. Here in the Magna Carta, Article 20 is enshrined the protection of the God-given right to a trial by a jury of one's peers, honest men of the neighborhood, that is, people in the same vicinity in which the crime was committed. These are the principles that the Magna Carta enshrined that come all the way down to our U.S. Bill of Rights and our U.S. Constitution.
All right, we're out of time, David. God bless. Thanks so much. We'll look forward to talking to you later this week.
God bless you. Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Radio is your best choice for advertising. Radio gets results. Call 1-800-205-6245 and find out just how inexpensive and effective radio can be. That's 1-800-205-6245. KHNC 1360, The Lion. That's 1-800-205-6245. The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom. Good Sabbath.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and I hope you enjoyed our conversation with David Whitney. I believe it's vitally important that every American understand the Constitution. I hope you'll get in touch with the Institute, or you'll set up a study program, and you'll do your part to try to preserve our nation. Now, we're seeing lots of problems in America today. One of them, of course, is related to the abnormal weather, the fires we're having. We have never had such a dry time in Northern California. In all the 79 years I've lived here, we've never had this number of fires this early in the year. And certainly we have fires in Southern California, the Santa Ana winds, but never wildfires in Northern California. Why? Well, we haven't had the rain. Why haven't we had the rain? Well, the government has the ability to modify the weather. Now, nobody wants to talk about that, the massive floods in the Middle West, which, of course, are destroying the crops there, and we're going to have real problems as far as the food supply is concerned because we've wiped out a significant part of our corn crop for this year. And even though they plant now, why, it used to be said that, you know, the rule for corn was knee-high by the 4th of July. And, of course, most of the crops Many of them either have been drowned or they're going to have to be replanted, and those little plants will not hold up well in August, of course, when the terribly hot sun comes that ordinarily ripens the corn. We're going to have real problems. Why would anybody do this? Can we prove that they're doing it? Well, it's all top secret. And there's nothing to conceal. Why are the, is the government's effort at weather control secret? They can bring about storms. They can bring about droughts. Actually, Zbigniew Brzezinski, in his book Between Two Ages, wrote about this in 1970, saying in the future we'll be able to create storms and droughts. Now, of course, they have the HARP program. They can change the direction of the jet stream. We have a book called Weather Warfare. Weather Warfare. We have a four-tape set on weather modification. We have a DVD put out by Bob Fletcher on weather control. And you can call and ask for Bob Fletcher's DVD. You need to get this information. You need to be able to discuss it intelligently. You need to reach others. We have a four-tape set on the High Altitude Auroral Research Project, known as HARP. We have a book on this program, which is in full force now, is being utilized on a regular basis, but it's all top secret. We can't let Osama bin Laden know what we're doing. It's called HARP, the ultimate weapon of the conspiracy. HARP, the ultimate weapon of the conspiracy. All of these are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. I believe there are going to be food shortages. The price of food is going to skyrocket. People are going to die of famine throughout the world. We are taking a third of our corn crop and turning it into ethanol, which is the stupidest thing you could do. Or maybe it isn't stupid. Maybe it is truly diabolical. And when do you begin to realize we're dealing with people who have a different worldview? Then, of course, none of these things are so difficult to understand. Our telephone number, again, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. And, of course, to understand why anybody would want famine and war and create new diseases, and Zbigniew Brzezinski talked about that in his book back in 1970, Between Two Ages, try to get a copy up on the Internet. The book is selling at close to $100 if you can get any at all. Why? Because they don't want you to have that information. They do not want you to know this is long-term planning, and behind that are powerful spiritual forces that want to bring about the biblical prophecy of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. War, famine, disease, and massive death. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for vision, and our protection.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmeriFree.com.
This is Ann Johnson. For 14 years, I've owned Brightside Natural Health. The prophecies of Revelation are being fulfilled at an amazing rate, and the kingdom of God is at hand. My passion is to follow God's command.